Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
So this is the Nonprofit Snapcast. I am your host, Mickey Desai, still on the line with Sharon Batch, who is the CEO. Are you the CEO, Sharon, of Ease?
I am the CEO of Ease, yes.
And Ease is what exactly?
It's a fundraising software program. It's really a donor management focused software program for charities. It does absolutely everything that a charity wants to do. And we haven't included the complex things like queries and so forth, because I come from an IT background and nobody wants to be as boring as I am. We've tried to keep those things out of there.
In a very quick nutshell, what separates your CRM offering from some of the other players in the market?
Well, I think it's very easy to use. I know they all say that, but for example, you can do incredible analytics on it, and anybody can run the reports from the executive director right down through the fund development people. We've added a lot of intelligence into it. The profiles are very robust. You can link your communications area to letters, documents out to the web. It creates one round area with everything involved in the fund development environment. And we love what we do, and we give our clients great service. But we do believe in training. Training sure. is one of the things that's really important.
Well, I think that's huge. I think, having worked in the technological field with nonprofits before, I think, honestly, training is everything. There are people out there who just want to sell you a solution and expect you to learn how to use it. And that just makes for more trouble down the road. I'm glad to hear you say that training is a big piece of what you make sure your clients get.
We have lots of seminars, pardon me, on our tutorial site. And part of that is that I taught at SAIT for a long time. And SAIT's the Southern Alberta Institute of Technology. I taught in the math physics department. So I strongly believe on decision-making based on knowledge and not guessing. And unfortunately, in the charitable sector, you find a lot of people who like to guess, and guessing just doesn't cut it. I mean, in Canada, it's $6 billion. In the U.S., I don't know how many billions it is, but it's much more than that. You cannot expect a donor to give money to an organization that where the staff are underachievers because they're underskilled.
Right.
That just doesn't make sense.
Let's talk about Mother Hubbard syndrome.
Okay.
And I may have that phrase incorrectly, but you had read or posted something recently. What was the title of that?
I called it Mother Hubbard's Cupboard Syndrome. And the old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to get her poor dog a bone.
Uh-huh.
When she got there, the cupboard was bare, and so right. the poor dog had none. Well, we recently, we do work with our clients with their data. And we have looked into the data. We've done our best to hound them and nag, etc. But when you look into the data and you find nothing there, nothing of any value, you really have to wonder who's laying out the outcomes or the goals in terms of this. And I think what happens is the EDs leave it to the fund development people. I don't think in many cases the fund development people value the knowledge as much as they should or could. There's a lot of discussion about this, but not a lot of action. Like it's, talking is good, but acting is better.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's distressing. And I've actually been writing articles on what is your legacy since the early years that we had a paper newsletter. And I think this is an issue that is really, really important, because when you bring new people in, and the turnaround in the charitable sector is quite significant. When you bring new people in and they can't sit down and take a look at a profile on a donor and understand more about them, other than what they've given, you don't really have a lot to talk about. And we wrote one story in our book about this person came from industry, and they were in the marketing area. So they went to a foundation in our city, and went and met for coffee one of the high-value donors. And they sat down and they said, "Oh, gosh, we'd love to have you come to our Christmas event." And the gentleman said, "Well, we've been coming for years." And they said, "Oh, well, would you consider sponsoring? Because this man also owned a company. And then he said, well, we've been sponsoring for years. And, you know, really, what is this person thinking? And the poor individual, I mean, they were just, in shock. And so,
for the want of better intelligence, they, the nature of that conversation would have changed a great deal.
Well, you know, what it said is the, you know, it says something about the charity. It says something about their organizational and their management structure.
Yeah.
And so we had a group in recently, and we have forms, and they're in the back of the book as well. And these forms are just outlines. And, you know, if anyone's ever interested in those, we'd be happy to email them. They're in Word. You can modify them. You can put your own logo on them. But it becomes a guideline for the kinds of information that you might want to start collecting on individuals. And I think, you know, something as simple as that helps to prevent massive oops situations where you're just totally embarrassed.
Right.
But but I think that Old Mother Hubbard's cupboard is a really good analogy for what I've seen in a lot of these charities. Or, you know, they'll have a name in there as a contact, but why are they there? Who are they? Do you ever update them? Little things like that. This has to start at the top.
Right.
And the top has to say, this is how we do things here. You don't go into a bank and say, well, as a new teller, I'm going to change how we do things. I'm going to put people's stuff on a spreadsheet.
Right.
I mean, that's just bizarre. But that happens all the time.
So I'm going to talk about the average nonprofit as if there is such a thing. But the average nonprofit, I suspect, doesn't have, or at least may not arrange themselves to have the bandwidth to actually do real data maintenance. Is that simply not true? Is there a way to change the culture around that? Or is there a moment where you simply have to hire a database manager to help take care of these things?
You know, I think good data management is everybody's job. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got the ED. Well, if they aren't invested in putting in their information, if they're talking to donor X or whatever, if they're not pulling their weight in showing the skills that they want their people to have, you can be assured that nobody else is going to have them either. In one case, you know, if you've got somebody who invests in data management because they understand it, but the guy next to them doesn't because they, you know, it's too much trouble or they don't have time, you know, those are not worthwhile excuses. And I think when data is as important to a charity as it is, and charities used to be very volunteer-based, they're becoming more like businesses now. And they are businesses. When you consider all of the people they help, all of the programs they run, this is not volunteer-based come he, come ho anymore. It's something that really does need some guidelines. And if you have people in there that are unwilling to set a good strategy and then follow it themselves, so there's leadership, not just, you know, I always laugh when people shove from the rear, well, I want you to do it, but I don't have to. That doesn't work. And I think it's really important because what it does do is it builds a charity that has great wealth and it has great sustainability. And it gives their staff confidence that when they're out talking to people, they have good information. And it gives the donor the comfort that these people actually care about them. You know, they actually understand who they are, why they've been giving, how they've been involved. And I don't think, I think that's a recipe for success. Mickey, did I lose you?
Nope, you did not lose me. My microphone was muted.
these are scary ideas.
No, in fact, I'm reminded of something I read out of a for-profit context. I believe the guy's name was Harvey. I cannot remember his name. Business writer.
Who you're talking about. I read his stuff all the time. He's in the newspapers, right?
Yeah, and he's up north. I believe he's up in Minnesota. In any case, I can see the cover of his book in my brain, and I cannot think of the gentleman's name. It's Harvey something. In any case, he wrote one little vignette where he says, you know, if your building burns down, if your office is just in flames, and the thing you grab when you're leaving is the Rolodex, And I think that that's right. I think we're talking about the same thing here. You have to make sure that your ability to contact other people is as good as it can ever be. Because if God forbid, disaster does occur, your ability to reach out and speak to your donor stakeholders intelligently is the thing that spells success from failure. Yeah.
Well, this is where you have good backup too, if that's what you're talking about. You know, the whole idea in our environment, we provide our clients with what we call an ease resources folder. And within that folder, their ease, KMS, and their data sits. All they have to do is back up one folder and they've got their whole life in there. And I think good organization is just something that really serves any organization, for profit or not for profit. And a lot of the issues that you see in the not-for-profit sector are also equally as resident, because we did a lot of this work in the for-profit area as well. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I wrote about in Old Mother Hubbard's Cupboard Syndrome was, if a charity could sit down and say to its prospective donors, number one, we have an annual training budget and all staff engaged in fund development are trained so that they know how to record data correctly. You can't get good reports out of a system where the data is not recorded in a manner that it's useful. We have an organizational strategy for all our electronic tools. This concept of the KMS, I've received awards for our work with engineering firms. So if you can help engineers, and it's kind of like herding cats, you can help. You can help fundraiser. They're kind of like cats too. And you know, the whole idea there is, when I first worked with the University of Manitoba, I managed for continuing ed the training programs that we offered on microcomputers. And what I found is that the stuff was everywhere. You need an organizational strategy so that you can find what you placed and that everybody else can find it too. Little organizational things like that make a huge difference. It's kind of like inviting people to your home for dinner and knowing where the forks and knives and the pots and pans are. And then senior management, they also have to contribute. How many times have I seen, well, the fundraisers do it, but nobody else? That's you know, that's not leadership. That's I don't know what you call it, but it's divesting yourself of right. leadership.
Right.
And some of those things make a huge difference to the attitude. So we talk about creating a knowledge culture. That's where people sit down and think about what they're doing before they start as a group. And the other side of it is they can continue to improve it. Mm-hmm. So when you get people improving, which is what we did with the engineering firms that we did the knowledge management with, it wasn't just the senior people we sat with. We sat with everybody. And sometimes it was the little tech in the corner whose eyes would light up because they had a small form that they used to use to ensure they had all the tools they needed before they went out and did a site visit. Little things like that improve the use of your time. And when you have improved use of your time, you can spend the extra time that you now have allotted yourself doing really valuable things like working with your donors, doing more entrepreneurial fundraising events, stewardship, all these things that make a huge difference to the charities and all the wonderful programs they offer. So you really hit upon a topic that I love to talk about. This is why nobody invites me to Christmas parties. This woman's too boring.
Well, if you're in Atlanta, we need to get together and hang out and talk some more about this, because I'm thoroughly fascinated. And I do wish that more entities across the nonprofit sector would pay close attention to the way they manage their data. I do think that not only is it a way to facilitate fundraising, but it's a way to improve mission outcomes as well. And there's not enough that can be said about that. There's, you know, anything we can do to improve how far a dollar goes, the better.
Well, you know, Mickey, I've never talked to a charity yet that have said to me, well, we don't need any more money.
Right.
We don't have greater number of clients. None of them. They're all, because a lot of things are being offloaded by government onto the nonprofit sector.
Yeah.
And I think as this continues to happen, and you know, people in Canada and the US are very charitable, they're very giving, and they want to know that their dollars are being used well. And part of dollars being used well is a well-trained, organized working environment so that people can do the things that make a difference rather than being inundated with speed bumps, which just, you know.
Yep.
It just, that, just
that doesn't help
work.
Anybody. That's right. No. So from chaos to control, build a high-performance team using knowledge management. You can find this on Amazon, and I do recommend it to anyone who's into high-performance organizations in general, whether or not you're in the nonprofit sector. I thought it was easy to read. It's very well laid out. The ideas in here are, I think, very important to any nonprofit. Sharon, how does a listener get in contact with you? How do they learn more about Ease, and how can they get a copy of this book?
Well, they're welcome to contact us. Our Ease website. Now, this is a bit of a mouthful. It's called Raise fundswithease.guru. We have a donate now and a free peer-to-peer component to it. If they're interested in our book, if they want to email me at ease@batschgroup.com, we'd be happy to share a copy, because we'd love to just help. That's our goal. We just want to help.
You are fantastic, Sharon. Thank you for joining us here on the Nonprofit Snapcast. I hope we can visit again someday and have some more conversations in the future.
Oh, thank you, Mickey. It's my pleasure. This is my favorite topic.
And to our listener, thank you for joining us. Please tell your friends about us. If you've got good feedback for us, you can leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts at the Nonprofit Snapcast page. And if you have any other feedback, please contact us via our website. That is the nonprofitsnapcast.org. In the meantime, we hope you're well, and we'll see you with another episode in about a week.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.